Recruit a team of teenagers with attitudes.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to this. And what this is a kind of a bonus thing that we've come up with for the show. Obviously, the show comes out, you know, once a month, once a couple of months, that kind of thing. But we thought as a supplementary thing, it would be cool to have a bonus sideshow where I talk to the cast and we watch an episode of the original show. Now, if you've heard me talk about the original show, obviously, you know, it's a kid's show from the 90s. And even for that standard, it's really, really dumb. And it, you know, it's not meant for analysing. Let's put it that way, as many podcasts out there have proven. But I thought it would be fun to get people on to see, not only could we talk about the origins of some of the stuff that we adapted in the show and how we changed it, also kind of opinions on the original show, but when I bring in people who don't know the show necessarily and were just brought on as actors and, you know, they've heard of Power Rangers but they didn't actually watch it back in the day, it'd be interesting to show people episodes focusing on their character, and they'll not only see where some of the ideas for their character came from, but it would also give them insight into, you know, what the original show was and what the comparison is. They could see some of the things that I'm describing in the scripts, but they don't necessarily know. That kind of thing. I think it'd be quite fun. But we're going to start with somebody here today who does know a little bit about Power Rangers. We're going to start with our very own Tommy Oliver. We've got Joey Sawless with us.
What's up, guys? How's it going, Rangers?
So yeah, my idea is I'll release these every so often. I'll record a bunch, we'll release some every so often. I'll probably do it in some sort of chronological order, but we might skip around the timeline here and there just based on who's available and when we can record. We'll see how it goes, but we'll probably be going season one, season two, season three, skipping all over the place just based on who we've got on the show sort of thing. But yeah, we were trying to obviously decide. Now, there's some characters in the show who we have absolutely no idea who we could pick an episode for, but with Tommy, that is not necessarily the case. He's got quite a few episodes focused on him and his powers and losing his powers and coming onto the show and leaving the show and coming back. So we thought we'd start right at the very start, the first episode that Jason David Frank appeared in, which is Green with Evil Part 1. We're not going to do the whole miniseries, obviously. I think Part 1 is just apt for that.
It's a good introduction.
Yeah. So, to explain what we're going to do here, we're going to do like a watch-along thing. So you're going to have your own copy of the show and sync along with us. You can listen to this. We'll talk enough that you can listen to this just as a podcast. I'm not going to put any audio of the show on here for obvious copyright reasons. So if you've got it on Netflix or whatever, just sync up your own copy and I'll count down and we'll play it at the same time and do a sort of watch-along thing. So my idea of what this show will be a sort of, I'm going to chat with the cast, have a one-on-one sort of talk with them very briefly, and then we'll get into the show and watch it and have a chat as we do that. Alright, so Joey, we've spoken on a couple of those behind the scene things, so obviously people are familiar with how you came on board with the show and what's been happening, but yeah, we're in the middle of season 2 at the minute. How are you feeling?
Oh man, I don't want to say too much, but it's quite a crazy journey as the white, but now white Tiger Ranger. A lot of things have come up since that has happened to Tommy, and it's no life that's a tiptoe through the tulips. I can tell you that, because he's gonna have to go through a good amount here. But it's really fun. It's really cool. I got to say the thing. It's morphin' time for the first time this season. Yeah. So. That was fun.
Yeah, I'm glad that episode 5 happened, because episode 6 onwards is when things start going majorly downhill and you start seeing the consequence of what happened to you. But it's nice that you got that moment to just be, oh, I'm the White Ranger, it's cool, before everything goes to hell.
Oh, yeah, I got to lead the team in one episode before drama.
Yeah, we won't spoil everything. Episode 6 is coming up very soon. I've got an episode of X-Men to edit, and then I'm going to start with Rangers in the next week or so. Okay, we're going to watch Green with Evil Part 1. Obviously, in the UK, it's on Netflix over here, so it's quite easy to sync up. If it is on your Netflix, get it loaded up. If not, I'm sure, a few of you will have a DVD copy or something like that. So we're going to start right from the very start. I don't know if, like, the DVD version has, like, any intro logos or anything like that, but we're on the Netflix version, it goes straight into the opening theme, and we'll go from there. And obviously we won't skip the intro or anything like that, like Netflix is want you to do. Before we get into Green with Evil Part 1, Joey, do you have any thoughts or memories on this episode? Obviously we adapted it back in season 1.
Oh god, yes, I have a very... Okay, so it's more of like I remember the day I watched this episode, right? It was a really good day. I was in kindergarten, I think, at this point. I was about 5 years old, and it was a Sunday morning, actually, just like it is today over here in the U.S., but I watched that episode, and I was like, what? Who's this cool new guy? He's, like, all bad and stuff, but because he wore those colors, I knew he was going to become good in the first place, because he looked like a Power Ranger. All Power Rangers were good. But ever since I saw Tommy Oliver, I was like, man, I want to be like that guy. So this has a lot of fond nostalgia for me. I remember, having a good time that day.
Mm. And this is one of the episodes where a lot of stuff, and especially season 1 in general, I adapted a lot of stuff more. I took the idea and the concept, and some of the things that happen in our version happen in this version a little more than some of the stuff that's happening in season 2. But obviously this is much more, Rita's just like, oh, I've got a Green Ranger crystal, let's just do that. And let's just do that. And then it's just kind of... cuss reasons, but
some things just translate different ways,
Well, yeah, I mean, as I've spoken about before, a lot of the things I've tried to do with the show is take something that was, why not? Because it was just a silly kid show of the 90s, and make it make sense, and some of the things I added. I obviously adapted the Sword of Darkness thing later on. That ended up being kind of like a siphon, I guess, for your powers, that kept your powers going, as opposed to like a mind control thing. Because at that point, Rita, during that storyline, during that... trilogy or quadrilogy, I suppose, she became the witch after Zed deposed her, but she wasn't the witch yet, so it was much more kind of a science thing, as we've spoken about before.
Yeah.
All right, so I've got it loaded up here, so we're going to have it go and watch the episode. So bring up your own copy of Season 1, Episode 17, Green with Evil, Part 1, and we're going to play in 3, 2, 1, play. Turn that down a bit. Well, this is the classic intro.
Oh, yeah. Teenagers with attitude.
Yeah, with absolutely no attitude in the show whatsoever. I think our versions have a bit more attitude.
No, there was that episode where they were all, like, dressed, like, cool, like sunglasses. Oh,
the punks. Power Rangers punks. Yeah. Yeah, this is the Clax intro that everybody remembers, obviously, with the Zoo Ranger footage on the right and the pilot footage on the left. Find it interesting that they credited David Fielding in season 1 credits, but never credited him going forward.
And I know. Obviously in
season 3, they replaced him, obviously, but... which they have every 2 weeks, apparently. And everything happens at the juice bar.
Ah, yeah.
Doesn't matter whether it's a dance or a peace conference or a martial arts tournament. Everything happens at the juice bar because that's the big set we've got.
Oh, there he is. There is my boy. Man, Zach's first words to me in our show was, he's just some jocked in a man bun. Or
yeah, part of updating it to 2018 as it was at that point.
Yeah. Oh, wow. Connor's really close with Babu.
Yeah, I don't know how, you know, as a kid, you obviously don't notice, but when you get told that it's dub footage, you can't unsee it. They doesn't even match their lip movements.
Yeah.
And here we go, the classic rivalry, Tommy versus Jason, which I think we expanded on a hell of a lot more in our show. A little bit more with the whole love triangle and stuff. Do you know what I found out? That guy there who's doing the refereeing, that's Lord Zedd.
Nuh-uh. That's Robert guy, Axelrod?
No, that's not the voice actor. It's the body actor.
Oh, okay, I gotcha. Oh,
okay,
man.
What is this point system? If they go down, I suppose? A lot of people like martial arts in Age of Grave, apparently.
It seems to be a huge thing. It seems to be the place to breed Power Rangers.
Yeah. So it's a bit of this will be kind of the story going forward, is these two against each other. And like I say, it was kind of there in the original show, but I expanded on it with the love triangle. And then obviously that came out once he became evil and it kind of motivated his evil personality.
Yeah. Man. I'm glad I was able to get Jason David Frank's key up. Right.
Yes, so. Exactly. You didn't do that in the original edition, but yes, it's been great.
Right.
Steer on that signature. Yeah. Well, obviously, these two are hired as martial artists more than actors, and you can tell that they're much better at that. What is that hat Kimberly's wearing? It's definitely really nice. Holy cow!
That's a modern day cowboy hat, don't you know?
Well. You're at the juice bar. How are you meeting them at the juice bar?
That's funny.
I guess he means the bar. Oh, here we go. It's right from the start.
Yep, there it is.
So already in the opening scene, we've set up Tommy's whole thing, rivalry with Jason and love and dress with Kimberly. Which again, our version of the show, I think I took the base elements and made them into full stories rather than just, you know, things that were there vaguely in the original. Like in the original show, Kimberly and Tommy never even, like, they peck on the cheek, but that's about it. I think they have like one kiss where it's not really a kiss. But
yeah.
I guess they felt like they couldn't, for some reason they felt like they couldn't have them actually kiss and hold hands properly a lot. I don't know whether that's just like because they felt it was a boy's show or it was because they felt like it would be too adult for kids. I don't know what that was about.
Was that what you adapt the Tommy and Bulk fight from? That little clip right there?
A little bit, yeah. I just wanted to show like he had like post-traumatic stress, so why not kick the shit out of Bulk, right? Because he's going to be a dick.
Exactly. Like, but you placed it in, like, Tommy and Kimberly already knew each other.
Yeah. Like, this scene happens before he becomes a Green Ranger sort of thing.
Yeah.
I think that just makes it so that when he becomes the Ranger, it twists the knife a hell of a lot more than...
Yeah.
You know, because at this point, she only just met him. It's like, oh, this guy I only just met has turned evil. And I kind of fancy. It's not as emotionally impactful, which I think our show is much better at, you know, driving things with emotion and character motivation rather than just because that's what's happening.
Yeah, like bond by trauma seems to be more substantive.
And here's the inspiration for all the Excalibur dialogue I've given Genie. The idea of Rita as like a dark witch. And this is like the only time we ever see it.
Oh. Okay.
Or at least they're doing like a dark ritual anyway.
Mm-hmm.
Uh-oh. I forgot how much shorter his hair is when he first turns up. He's got basically like a mullet.
Yeah, pretty much. I'm glad you didn't keep the mullet.
No. Well, it's an audio drama. It could be whatever we want, but no, I very clearly stated it is just long hair. Cause,
yeah.
Yeah, nowadays it would be like that sort of crew cut, shoulder length thing.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I've been watching some of season two, and the season one putties are a lot better. Like, the costumes are better, and I think that the whole Zed thing is just, it's kind of stupid. Because in season two, the putties just become like interpretive dancers. It's really weird.
Yeah,
they show
yeah.
up and they're just like up trees and doing dance sequences. Oh.
Oh, he had a Captain America moment right there. That was dope.
I love how he just attacks. I suppose he'd hear about putties, but I love how he's just like, what the hell are they? Like, so, oh, I just got attacked by grey monsters. Why not?
Way to go, Tommy. You just proved well, your point.
This is actually kind of dark magic stuff. This does not happen much in the show. Probably for reasons. I mean, right. In the Japanese show that they're pulling it from, she, like, works for Satan, right?
I wanted to know why Tommy just put his bag down again after picking it up.
Yeah, well, I guess he's just been standing in that alley for a minute while she had that conversation. Oh, he's in a crystal ball. Okay. Oh, there's a shot of Barai from the Japanese Sentai. It's clearly, when you see the transition where that moss comes off him, it's clearly Barai and not Jason David Frank.
Mm-hmm.
You can tell because there's good production values.
I'm waiting for that scene.
See, oh, there yeah, we go. I just saw it. That's yep. clearly Barai.
What?
Are oh, no, we faded into him. It's fine. See how much less production values the American shot has? The candles are now like a terrible candelabra.
Oh my god.
Oh, wow, they're doing like an intro. Maybe they're thinking this could be like somebody's first episode, so they're introducing the show and its concepts to everybody and the characters.
Yeah, I think that's why this was a good first one.
Right, so he has the coin, but at this no point during the miniseries does he ever get like a morpher. So I guess he just kind of carries it around.
Wow, okay. Oh.
See, you don't know, he's got a morpher in his belt there, but. And yes, the Green Dragon Shield is so much worse in the American version. It's clearly material and not. Whereas in all the Zoo Ranger footage, it's this really nice plastic hard shield. Where's this? Look at it. It's awful.
It's a Halloween
a CD!
Costume. That was very tame to what I did.
Only one with a power coin can enter. Are you blind, Zordon? He's clearly a Power Ranger. Oh, actually, no, there's a touch. He hasn't got the power coin in on his morpher.
He doesn't, does he?
So he is. I guess he is actually carrying it around for some reason. But how is his power working?
I mean, if he needs a morpher, it's right there, I guess.
Oh my god, that shield is so bad in the American footage.
So flexible, so flexible. Man, you made my scene a lot more badass, I feel, because...
See, well, there's like, the laugh that you did. Yeah. That's the one.
So he just turned
up. He turned off Zordon.
Mm-hmm.
It's weird how the movie just completely ignored this, right? Like, in the movie, he's, like, actually in there.
Right.
Whereas in the show, it's like a TV screen, which then doesn't make any sense with what happens in space, but let's not go there.
Oh, yeah, the in space.
Like it's a cool idea, except that Zordon's not actually in his tube.
Right. He's not a giant head.
Right, so I know we shouldn't be asking questions, but why is she making gold all grow?
Just like the 2017 movie, remember?
Yeah, but what, like, why are Squat Babu and Goldar down there? Why did she just attack him with a Green Ranger? Maybe we've spoken over that. Yeah, this is something I will never adapt in the show. Billy just invents a flying car. Yeah, I'm not going to clean your car or Billy's car. I love how they keep pressing it to try and connect to Alpha. Like, they're just turning it on and off, right? It's like if somebody was having bad signal problems with your phone and you just keep hanging up on them.
Just keep mashing buttons.
Oh, man. Oh, my God, I hate this thing so much. Oh, my God. I love how the virus is just a CD. What the hell?
Yeah.
Yeah. Morphin time!
It's morphin time!
Right, so now we're into Japanese footage. Right, so now the putties, I mean, I know that's what, it's just the American, oh wow, there's like a golem looking putty, that, they never did that in the American version.
No. I really, really based my Evil Tommy voice off of this episode here.
Yeah. Here come the dinosaurs. I still think these are the best. I like all the other ones, but just for nostalgia purposes, these are the best ones, right?
Oh yeah, I love this intro. Man, this is just nostalgia, right?
Now, the others don't even have like hiding places. You never really see them coming from. I guess they're just in hangars or whatever.
The shot of the Tyrannus Rex trying to run that fast with all the others did look kind of goofy.
Yeah, well, yeah, because that's like a guy in a suit, whereas the others are, models.
Yeah, it's just like... Dun,
dun, dun, dun. There's the crystals. Of course, I adapted that for the way that they did the Megazord in episode 4 of season 1 or 3. Yeah, 3.
Ah, man.
I skipped this version in the show, the attack mode, because they never really, used it. It was just, a transition point between the two. Like, why get into a one formation just to turn into another? It made no sense to me, so I just skipped it.
Yeah, that's true. Megazord activated!
Right, so where the hell is, like, the power sword come from? It's great.
God. God himself.
I guess it's like in orbit, in, like, a satellite that just shoots it down everywhere.
Yeah, that would, oh, holy that shit. Would be the cool explanation.
Dropkick from Goldar. Whoa!
Whoa. Not even Tony Hawk doesn't have anything on that flip.
Yeah. And this fight was used in the first episode, because obviously in the first episode of Zoolander... Oh, here we go.
Did you see how quickly he just vanished?
Yeah. Goldar does his... That's Goldar's thing. He turns up, does things, and then runs away. Holy shit, he just punched Srini in the face.
Wow! I don't want to do that too loud.
Yeah. This is all really cool stuff, because this is from the Japanese show. Like, look how much better the Green Shield looks how much better the fighting is.
Right.
Like, everything cool comes from the Zoolander. I like the characters, I adapted the characters, but whenever they tried... Okay.
All right.
And here we are, we're back to them fighting. So the plan was, get Goldar and the putties, draw them out, bring them to Earth, and then Tommy will just attack him, right?
Right. I guess? I guess.
So you just blew them up with a Hadouken, I think. You never have that power when you're a good guy.
No. I didn't when I was a bad guy either.
Right, so he blew them up and then they just ran away? And he ran away and he let them leave?
I love how their hair and outfits are perfectly fine after being suited up and fighting.
Yeah. Oh, something's so wrong with Alpha. Oh no.
Billy, just move a little bit, please. Just... scoot over. Give him some room.
I do like how Tommy jumped into the back of the Megazord cockpit. That was cool.
That was, that was pretty, pretty badass.
Who turned on the viewing globe? I know we should never ask these questions, but I guess Tommy turned it on.
Telepathically.
And that is it. To be continued.
Ah.
Yeah. So, I mean, again, really cool fight, really cool concept. I liked how they brought in the whole element with, you know, you got the rivalry between Jason and Tommy as humans, then they became rivalry with... them in suits and stuff. So they did do some decent writing, but a lot of things was cuss reasons. What's your thoughts?
Ah, man. It was still as nostalgic as ever. I love it, but I know how corny it is, okay? Like, I am fully aware of all of that stuff, and it's hilarious, but I think even as campy as all that is, it's still kind of aged well. Like, it's almost so bad it's good. But I see where you've adapted a lot of the plot lines for our show from, and even if it's not fully from said part, like, it's exactly what I visualized when you wrote it.
Yeah, like, obviously I watched this over and over again as a kid. I had the miniseries on VHS, and I you know, memorized the sort of stuff, and I remember the fight being really cool, and there's some bits of the fight that I verbatim put into our show. But I think also the whole thing of you trashing the command center and disabling Alpha, that was in episode 5. Mm-hmm. Of course, I viciused it up where, you know, you're stabbing Jason and...
Yeah, I stabbed Jason in the chest. I I kill Alpha completely, just ripping his head off, and you know, I feel like I did more to him, but I don't know.
Yeah, instead of just ripping out the control panels, like, because obviously in our show, Zordon's a computer, so you went down to like his, you basically is inside his computer core and just started stabbing, and you know, his computer turned off.
I also wanted to make that laugh sound a little less campy too. Like, I wanted to make it sound more like.
I think to me, obviously the finale was awesome, but one of the major high points of season three was doing that Green Ranger thing, because that's so much nostalgia for that, for me and for people, and I wanted to adapt it well. And I think I brought in all the big elements and justified them and made them make sense. But you kind of got a more, I don't know, a more PG-13, a more... Without going too overboard, I mean, some people were like, "Oh my god, the stabbing of Jason!" Like, yeah, but let's that you know, I again, it just what would really happen if somebody has a knife and a person is unmorphed? That was absolutely what would happen. It's just that, like, in the original show, they wouldn't go there for obvious reasons.
Yeah, you didn't go over, like, you could have made him do some even more terrible stuff, like. Mm. But you didn't. You kept it tasteful. And I thought that was really cool. I liked how no matter what Jason and the rest of the team did to get away from Tommy, Tommy was right freaking there. He was right outside of the hospital calling out Jason to get down there and fight him like a man, one-on-one. And when I did that line and I heard it over and over again, it's just like, wow. This is really showing what kind of what Tommy's thinking when he's under this control, you know, like it's not Tommy, but it's all that crappy stuff brought out of him, you know?
Like we spoke about on one of the behind the scenes things we did. It's like his inhibitions are all completely gone, and every part of like inner thought of his darkest thoughts were just allowed to fester. So every thought that he probably at the party was like, "Oh, Jason's being a dick to me and ignoring me," but he wouldn't actually say that. But with those things down, he's like, "I fucking hate you," you know. And he was able to say that, you know.
Yeah, and I really, before I got cast on this show, I had been watching Jason David Frank's vlogs, his on his YouTube, and I don't know, it's just interesting seeing what he was up to, what all the cool stuff he did. Like, he skydived, he goes to Tokyo, he does all that stuff. It's fun to watch, but I started picking up on his voice more, and when I started on the show, I wanted to make sure I got that breathiness he has, and that how he rounds out a lot of his words, and he says a lot of things with this almost whine. And nowadays, it's like a closing of the back of the throat. I don't mean like a whine, like, but it's like you can. It's just like a palate in the back of his throat almost closes when he talks. And so I was able to pick that up, and that's what I came to you with my audition, and watching this show, of course, too. I got that.
Yeah, absolutely. I think it's absolutely what is one of the best parts of the show is when you come on. There's some people who are versions of the original characters. There's some people who are complete departures of the original characters. Yours, I think, is the closest to just being a straight translation. Not necessarily in terms of all the character stuff, but in terms of, you know, the performance is definitely the closest to the original of anybody on Asher.
Yeah, I feel like I tie really close with Nick over there. I close my eyes and listen, and I see Austin St. John.
Yeah, he's like, I did a Chicago accent, which is like, that's just the extra part of, like, he read the script and was like, oh, he's from Chicago, so I'll do a Chicago accent. That's just an extra level of what makes Nick awesome.
And I did try to bring a California element, because I don't know if you're able to tell when Tommy talks sometimes, but he's got a little bit of a rasp that most of those surfer dudes have, you know, like Joff Ale, bruh. And it's light, but I wanted to incorporate that because of where he lives.
You do. I think you have that element to your voice as well. You've got a very chilled out voice.
Yeah, and I thought, you know, there's a lot of things that went into making this version of Tommy, because obviously if you look at the Jason David Frank incarnation, I don't feel like you could get this story from that. I'm just from the one that we have because it's so PG.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. You know, it's bringing everything up to a level of like, okay, the gloves are off. I'm not going to go hard R. I'm not going to go full on blood and guts and swearing, but I'm just bringing it up to that level of this is what real people talk like and this is how real people act, but still getting to do the thing of doing the Green Ranger thing.
Yeah.
But it's coming from a place where he has to deal with the trauma afterwards. He has to there's that moment where he has that lucidity of waking up from nightmares and realizing that he's killed people and that kind of thing. And that Tommy is definitely one of those characters who would be a shell of himself after a lot of the stuff I'm doing to him in the show, and it's up and down. And a lot of the plots are, as in the original show, a lot of the plots are revolving around what he did or what he gets his powers or loses his powers and all that kind of stuff. And we've got a lot of that more coming forward. And wow, it's definitely making an origin as to why he would stick around as a Power Ranger for so long. Let's put it that way, because he won't have much else after we're done.
It's a test of his character for sure. And I also wanted to say that I am a huge fan of Tommy Oliver and Jason David Frank, and I made sure that I brought as much of the original Tommy to this, like the wanted to make sure that was in there, and wanted to make sure you still had Tommy's his innocent cuteness, you know.
Yeah, I feel like, you know, we came in and he was very much, I think in episode 2 and 4, he was very much the character from the original show, and he got with Kim and that was starting to be a thing, and then he became the Green Ranger and that was kind of ruined, and he was starting to get his redemption arc when he, you know, spoiler alert, dies. And now with this redemption of coming back as the White Ranger, the idea is to give him the redemption, but obviously we're going to put a major spanner in the works with that going forward without spoiling anything, because this got to be a consequence. Like, to me, just bringing you back after killing you would be cheap, and I think there has to be a struggle and a journey to, you know, see if you can become yourself ever again.
Right, and that's the true test of the character that is Tommy Oliver, and I think that's gonna really make him that Forever Ranger, I guess.
Yeah, I'm very interested to see what people think of the show going forward. But nevertheless, thank you very much for joining me, Joey, for this initial episode of this bonus thing. As I say, I'm going to record one with Nick, so I don't know which order I'll release them in, and we'll do it every so often. I'll release these bonus episodes where we watch an episode of the original show, and it kind of talks. Anything you want to add to finish up here about Green with Evil, our version of it, or Tommy in general and playing him on the show?
I am super honored to bring this version of Tommy Oliver to life. It's a dream come true. But more importantly, I'm so happy to be a part of this show. I had a lot of fun with this today. I might try to just come on to the other Rangers episodes, but not say anything and just watch, because this was just fun to hear all of his talk, or all this talk about it while watching it. It's a good morning activity for me. I like it. But stay tuned, guys, for the rest of season 2 of Power Rangers, the audio drama. Listen to me as the White Tiger Ranger, and stay tuned for some more drama.
Yeah, we've mapped out pretty much the rest of season 2 going into season 3, and it's going to be some stuff. I've had, like, as I've been giving guys chance to get their lines, and I've just been knocking out scripts because I've just been so into where the story is going at this point of what we've talked about.
Oh yeah. Yeah, man. Right. I'm excited. I'm excited for more, man.
Yeah. I hope everybody enjoys it. All right, that will do it for this episode of the Bonus Watch Along for Green Evil Part 1. Feel free to watch the rest of it in your own time if you want to do so. But we will be back with the next episode very soon. See you later. Go, go, Power Rangers!